it happen that Church, we gotta go back, we gotta go back to our Father's praying ground. God is not pleased, let's go back on bended knees, And too far away we have strayed, just now dear old sinners say. And let us go back to our Father's. The old timers used to believe that you would confess your unconfessed sins. I wonder what kind of service we'd have today if everybody would just come clean with God and get right with one another.
Well, boy.
Hello. You'd be amazed at the Baptists that hold grudges, keep score. I done something for so-and-so and they didn't return the favor. So I tell you one thing, I'll never do nothing else for them. Well, were you doing it to get them to reciprocate? Big word of that. Or was you doing it because you cared about them and loved Jesus and wanted to be a blessing to somebody? Did you know this Bible? I ain't preaching yet, I'm just testifying a little bit. Do you know this Bible teaches that we're to be kind one to another? Do you know this Bible says that we're to be tender-hearted?
That's good.
Now here's the way Baptists say, oh, you be tender-hearted and people take advantage of them. Well, didn't they take advantage of the Lord?
Yeah.
And yet, he was just kind.
Right.
So we're to be tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you and me.
Good.
Wonder how much we're like the Lord. See, Jesus, the Bible says, when he was reviled, he reviled not again.
Right.
When they spoke evil of him, Jesus blessed them with kindness. We've got that all out of whack now. We say, I'll tell you what, I'm going to bless him out. What does it mean to bless somebody out? That's where we get the term telling somebody off or getting back at them, getting even with them. I'm going to bless him out. Well, if you're blessing somebody, you're supposed to be doing something good for them. Hello.
Hello.
Amen. Mm-hmm. That's right. Let me sing another song before y'all get mad with me. Well, it's Jesus. I had a message EP, and I make JPPY because I left for Double E. And I once was B.O.P. in the Jakes S.I.E. But if B.I.C.P.O.R.Y. then know Christ dwells with thee. The Lord, he saved my soul one day by G.R.A.C.E. And I've been longing since to see that P-L-A-C-E. That's called heaven sweet and fair. He paid the price for me. And I thank my God and know that I am S-A-B-E-D. It's G-O. If you ain't saved, you can be. It's G-O. Son, you know what that song's saying? That spelling that I'm doing? It's saying it's glory to know that I'm saved.
Amen.
I'm happy because I'm free. Right. Now, if you're happy, you ought to notify your face. You look like you're choked on peanut butter 40 miles from water. Amen. I'm happy because I'm free. Now, listen to this. It goes on to say, I once was bound. B-O-U-N-D, I once was bound in the chains of sin, But it's glory now to know that I'm saved.
Right.
Isn't that good?
It's good.
Did you know the world is seeking peace, but they're looking for it in the wrong place?
Sure.
See, the world thinks that you can find peace in a box. But all that'll do is give you a hangover, make you sick. They drank that old crow and then they'll puke like an old buzzard. And they think they're having a good time and they don't know what a good time is. I mean, ruining their life, destroying. Oh, I tell you what, I'm going to go get me some dope. Well, any old dope can take dope. And if you take dope, guess what it'll do? It'll make you dopey. Where you live at? They can't remember their name. They couldn't spell the name in boxcar letters, and they think they're intelligent, and they don't know anything about intelligence. Same thing right there, son. So it's glory to know that Jesus loved us enough.
It's good.
And he came to this old sin-cursed earth and was willing to bleed and die on an old rugged cross that you and I could be saved. Hallelujah to God. Oh, let me say this then. Let's see. What was that? Now that's wrong again. I tell them when sometimes I'm playing this guitar and behind a few bars, can't find the right key. I mean, that's like the fella in the jail. Said I've been washed in the blood that he shed at Calvary, and he forgave me all of my sins, set my spirit free, and he's coming back again. I know to take his children home and get ready, friends, don't wait too late. Almost time to go. Well, it's GLORY to know that I'm SABB, and I'm HAPPY because I'm FRWE. And I once was the old you and me, and the change of SIE, but it's BICPORY to know Christ dwells with. All right, preacher, what do you want me to do now?
Whatever you want.
Take up an offering?
Yeah, let's do that again.
Y'all want to take up an offering?
We got quiet, didn't it?
I was in one place, they said, now, we ain't going to pay you for preaching. We'll pay you to leave. What'll it take to get rid of you? I said, well, make it light on yourself. You know, I don't want to be a burden to you. And I was preaching at one place. I ain't going to tell you the name of it, but the initials is West Virginia. And I said, Brother Clayton, you ain't got to worry about gas money. We'll make sure we get enough gas to get you out of town. Some folks are more trouble than they're worth. Amen. That's right. Could I take just a minute? I don't know if he wants me to preach or testify or eat all the food up. Or could I tell y'all what happened to me in what five? Could I take
sure.
5 minutes take and tell what happened to me?
Yes, sir.
Well, here last... Well, it was actually last summer. No, it was actually last spring, I think it was. I started feeling sick. I didn't know what was wrong with me. And the only way I could get any relief is throw up. I mean, it was just hurting and just, oh, I was just miserable. So my wife, she finally talked me into going to the emergency room. And I told her, I said, we ain't got the money to go to no emergency room. She said, you know that you got Medicaid now. Now go to the doctor and say, what's wrong with you? So she finally taught me to go in the emergency room. And they started doing tests. And they said, you've got a kidney stone in there. What it was, anybody have any idea how big that kidney stone was that they found there? It was a 10 millimeter. That's as big as your thumb. I mean, it was huge. What it done, it shut my kidney completely down. The kidney wasn't even working. And what was happening, the fluid and stuff that your kidneys are supposed to filter and you pass it out, you know, when you go to the restroom, mine wasn't working. That kidney was just, and the fluid was going back down in my body, dropping down in my pelvis. And they said, we got to do surgery. We got to go in there and take that thing out. And I said, well, I didn't know I was going to have surgery. They said, it's surgery or die. I said, let's talk about surgery then. So anyway, They went in there with that laser and all and busted that kidney stone. They said when they got in there, they found another one that was growing in the top of the kidney. And they said, you'd have died if you'd have messed around just a little bit more. Well, most of y'all know the male anatomy. I ain't going to try to get vulgar or anything. But after I got out of the hospital, they said my prostate was so enlarged that I can't go to the bathroom. That's why I've got this catheter in. And I curse this thing and say bad things about it. I said I was in one place, it's a cold, and it froze my catheter up. But this thing's what keeps me alive. I can't live without it. See, they tried four different times to take it out. And every time that they tried to take it out, I can't go to the bathroom. Now, you ain't never lived till you get where you can't go to the bathroom and you need to go and you can't go. And it won't not. Oh, Lord. They took it out one Friday morning. I'm trying to hurry. They took it out one Friday morning.
You are right.
And I went to church Sunday. Brother Sammy and everybody was talking about how good I looked and how glad they was I was back, you know, and everything. And so when I got home that afternoon, I started noticing that when I try to go to the restroom and urinate, I'm trying to be nice, not saying ugly or. But anyway, when I try to urinate, I started passing blood. Then I started seeing these black specks in it. And I thought that was part of that kidney stone where they burst it up. But they told me later it was blood clots. And finally, that afternoon, it just shut completely down. I couldn't go to the bathroom at all. I went that whole night, Pastor, and I'd go to the restroom, try to use the restroom, could not go. It just like I was completely shut down. And I probably slept 10 minutes that night. I was about to die. I was so sick. I'd hurting. Well, you ain't got to be a rocket scientist to realize that next morning I was begging to go to the doctor. I was begging to get a catheter put in. And you never live, you have to deal with this thing. I mean, you know, so when they put another catheter in, after about 20 minutes, well, they drained nearly 2 quarts of fluid off of me in just a matter of maybe 20 minutes. And I started feeling better after that. But anytime they tried to take it out, I can't use the bathroom. So, here's where I'm at. They're wanting to do surgery again. They want to go in and shave the prostate because it's so enlarged that I can't go. Well, I told the doctor, I said, Doc, I don't want no more surgery. That surgery is rough on the skin. And it's too hard to get over. And I said, is there any option besides doing surgery? I said, well, you can wear that catheter the rest of your life. I said, that's not much of an option, Doc. And so when I went back, the 10th, that was Friday, was a week ago, not this past Friday, but Friday's a week ago, the doctor said, they've come up with some new medicine that will shrink that prostate, but they just, one problem. I said, let me hear the problem. He said, it costs money. I said, everything costs money. They said, this costs a lot of money. I said, what do you call a lot of money? Said it's like $300 for a month's supply, and I'll be on it for 6 months. They said it'll take 6 months to actually shrink that prostate. So, love may keep the whole world turning, but money greases the wheel. And the reason I ain't got it's because, you know, that Medicaid will help pay the doctor's bill and go to the merchant, but it won't pay nothing on the medicine. So the doctor said, well, you've got to have it or you're going to have surgery. I said, well, I don't want surgery. Hey, y'all know how much that doctor got for going in there and busting that kidney stone? Now, I'm not talking about any of the visits. I'm not talking about anything else. Guess how much that doctor got for going in there and busting that kidney stone? I figured maybe $2,000 or $3,000. Yeah, how much that doctor got paid for going in there and busting that kidney stone up? It saved my life, but I mean, you know, that's beside the point. $29,000 just for the doctor for going in there and busting that kidney stone. Well, you ain't got to be a rocket scientist to realize you can take all the herbs you want to. See, I went to a place here just a few days ago, and this brother, he sold on those herbs. He thinks herbs will cure cancer or cure anything. So, man, he went to that herb doctor and got all that saw palmetto and this, that, and the other. Well, he thought I ought to take it. He got $100 worth of it, and that's a bunch of it, you know. And he thought I ought to take it, all of it at the same time. Man, he was giving me that stuff. I'd like to kill me anyway. So the doctor told me, he said, now that stuff might help keep you from getting in the shape that you're in. But see, you're in such a shape right now that stuff ain't going to work. It ain't going to help you. It's just, it will not work. Now they say the doctors criticize the herbologist, and the herbologist criticize the doctors, and the poor patient, he just takes an old cold tater and waits, you know. So anyway, I'll tell you how serious the thing is. I know I'm wasting a lot of time, but I got a probably earlier than any of y'all, and drove further than I know any of y'all. And I did something I didn't even think I could do. I didn't even stop to get coffee. I mean, you what? I didn't think I could live without coffee. I didn't get no coffee. I ain't had nothing to eat. I ain't got no sad stories to tell. I hear them in these camp meetings. Oh, I got no sad stories. I said, I can tell you if you want to hear them. Right. But they don't want to hear it. But anyway, you ain't got to be a rocket scientist to realize that if you're sick and you can't do nothing at home, the place will just eventually start growing up, and your jar will start looking like a jungle. So I told my wife, I call her Mom, and we've been together 50 years, so I guess I can call her Mom. I said, Mom, I gotta get out there and cut that grass. She said, the doctors told you not to do anything like that, and don't you do it. Well, I'm stubborn, I'm pig-headed, so I go out there, and I get that old lawnmower crank. That thing come off of Noah's Ark wearing crutches. It's so old. And I get out there, and I'm... Y'all pretend like you're not looking. Anyway, I'm trying to hold that cactus catheter thing in this hand, and I'm trying to push that lawnmower with this hand. And I thought I was doing pretty good till I looked at this tube here. I started seeing blood coming up in the tube. Then the whole catheter started filling up with blood. I said, oh, I'm in trouble. So my wife told me, going back to the doctor, and I said, you've got an infection. And said, so he put me in the hospital. I showed the picture 2 days after I came out of the hospital. It's on my driver's license. Get my driver's license renewed. I look like I've been in a concentration camp for about 6 or 8 months. I tell you, do y'all know Brother Marion Atkinson? I know you do. His wife's known me just about all my life. She saw that picture on those driver's license. She said, Travis, that's not you. I said, well, that's the picture 2 days after I come out of that hospital. Man, I'm telling you what, I know you go to the hospital to try to get help, but I like to die in there. And I was so glad when I finally got out of there.
Sure.
Well, the thing about these catheters, and I'll hurry. I don't know if the preacher wanted me to preach or just give a medical report. But anyway, that doctor said, now you have to change that thing every 30 days to keep down infection. They call it a Foley. They said them Foleys are bad about getting infection. And you'll get infection if you don't change it every 30 days. Well, I was taking this medicine that was supposed to shrink that prostate and take care of it. So I just, you know, figured, you know, I could just get the prostate shrunk down, and then I would go get the thing out and be done with it. Well, I got another infection. I go back to the doctor. You know what they told me? They said, you've got a bad infection in your bladder. If it had got in your bloodstream, you'd be dead right now. I said, this thing ain't nothing to play with. And that doctor, boy, he started, you talk about preaching a sermon. He preached me a sermon. He said, why did you wait so long about coming and having it changed? And I told him, you know, that I was taking medicine supposed to shrink that thing, you know, and all. He said, apparently it's not working, is it? I said, it's not. You know, and he just got all over me and told me, you know, that I was flirting with Dad and flirting with the Undertaker and everything. But anyway, that's where I'm at right now. And it's amazing how many folk out of sight, out of mind. And they claim they're praying for you, and they're you know, one fella, he told me, he said, all you need is a colon cleansing. I said, brother, it's not my colon, it's other parts. Here's what he told me, Zach, you're not going to believe it. A preacher, a friend, supposed to be a friend. He said, well, all you're doing is milking that sickness. Just lay there and die. I'm tired of fooling with you. I tell you what, that's encouraging, you know. It really makes you feel good. And I think about leaving him in my will. I will. He'd get run over by the next freight train coming through. But anyway, people can be so heartless when it's not them that's in the shape.
Yeah.
And believe me, I'd love to be rid of it. I'd love to get done with it. But the Lord knows all about it. And that's a fellow wrote a song. He said, I'm a winner either way, if I go or if I stay. Because I'll still have my Jesus each passing day. I'll have my healing here below or life forever if I go. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm a winner either way. Right. Glory to God. See, worst thing could happen to me today, sister, is I die and go to heaven. That'd be bad, wouldn't it? I mean, I'd hate to leave all y'all and leave my family and everything. But I'm telling you what, when I got saved, young man, that changed my eternal destiny. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now, praise God, I can see. And I tell you what, hey, I'm on my way to glory. And I hope the Lord will let me stay a little while longer, but it's in His hands. And Psalm 37, verse 25, the psalmist said, I've been young,
that's right.
Now I'm old.
Yes, sir.
Yet, hey, somebody told me one day, said, your face looks like it's wore out about six bodies. I said, that's encouraging. He said, I was young, and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Ain't that good? I believe it's Micah chapter 6 and verse 8. It says, he has showed thee, O man, what is good. If y'all was wondering why I was looking, I was looking at that clock. And according to that clock, it ain't even 11 o'clock yet, so we can preach all day, can't we?
Yes.
He said, he has showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee? Here's what the Lord required of us. But to do justly. Hey, now we want everything justly when it's coming toward us. But do we want to be just with others? But to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. That's Micah chapter 6, verse 8. You ought to memorize that and go quote it to your mother-in-law and see how far you get right there, huh? Hey, man. You want me to preach? Preach. What you want me to do? You want me to sit down? You want to go eat? What y'all want to do?
Do whatever you want to do.
Preach. Let me say a few nice words about Jesus, and then we'll go eat. Are we going to eat?
Yeah, we're going to eat.
God's in that. All right, the book of Acts, chapter number 20. If you got your Bible, if you ain't got your Bible, why don't you have it? Acts chapter 20. And
it's good.
Let's start reading in verse number 1. We're not going to read the whole chapter. We'll skip around some. The Bible says, now my Bible right here in chapter 20, as it's introducing this chapter, it says, Paul's last visit to Jerusalem, and he goes into Macedonia and Greece. Verse number 1. And after the uproar was ceased. Now, if you stand for God, you're going to upset the devil's playground. Amen.
Yes, sir.
And he's not going to like what you're trying to do for God. Have you ever tried to give out a gospel tract to somebody? If you don't give out a gospel tract, shame on you. You quit telling anybody that you love God. Quit telling anybody that you're saved. Quit telling anybody that Jesus is your friend. If you don't witness for the Lord and give out gospel tracts, don't tell people that you love God. Just say, I'm somewhere hanging in the balance and I'm not really sure where I'm at. Amen. You say, Brother Clayton, I don't have courage to give out gospel tracts. Well, let me ask you a question. How much courage does it take to take one in a bathroom and lay it on the toilet paper and pray that whoever gets it will read and get under conviction and get born again? How much courage does that take? How much courage does it take to walk by a telephone booth and leave it on the telephone booth or somewhere else? I mean, our pastor, Brother Sam Allen, many of y'all know him, but he said our motto for all these years has been, we sow as we go.
Right.
Now, somebody's got some kind of stuff out here growing. You think it just came up by itself? Somebody had to plant it.
Yes, sir.
Somebody has to harvest it if it does any good, if it's any good for anything. So we sow as we go. And said after the uproar was ceased, Paul called unto him the disciples and embraced them and departed for to go into Macedonia. And verse 2. And when he had gone over those parts and had given them much exhortation, he came into Greece. Now, did you know they'd put Paul in jail and he'd get the jailer saved? They'd put Paul in jail and he'd get the man that's locked up in there with him. He'd witness to him, tell him about Jesus. Hey, if something like that happens to him, oh, man, ain't nobody ever had the troubles I'm having. There ain't nobody had to go through what I'm going through. And I thought the Lord said he'd always be with me. And I thought the Lord said he'd supply my need. Hey, we don't always need the things that we think we need.
Right.
Hello.
Right.
Hey, a lot of us complain because we don't get the things that we think we ought to get. Most of us are so fat, we're fatter than a buffalo, and can't hardly walk, and wonder why God ain't doing more for us. Verse 3, you say, Brother Clayton, you're making me mad. You might get mad enough to repent and get right with God. And there, Paul said, there abode 3 months, and when the Jews laid wait for him, as he was about to sail into Syria, he purposed to return through Macedonia. Amen. Hey, you remember, now this is chapter 20, but do you remember in Acts chapter 16 where Paul and Silas wound up in jail? Now, they wasn't in jail for stealing somebody's horse. They wasn't in jail for robbing a grocery store. You know what they was in jail for? Because they had cast the devil out of somebody and preached the gospel and folks got upset about it.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Hey, everybody ain't going to love you because you're saved. Everybody ain't going to speak well of you because you love Jesus and will live for the Lord. Amen.
That's right.
Did you know there's a scripture in the Bible, now I can't give you its address, but it says, woe be unto the man that everybody speaks well of. Heard a fellow say one time, why? For I know I ain't got an enemy nowhere. Well, I'd be ashamed to tell that. Because, listen, if you live for God and you're serving God, everybody's not going to like you.
Yeah.
And you're going to make enemies.
Right.
But I tell you the way to kill your enemies. Make a friend out of them. Amen. Mm-hmm. And verse 4. And there accompanied him into Asia, Sopater of Berea, and of the Thessalonians, Aristarchus and Secundus and Gaius of Derbe, and Timotheus, and of Asia, Tychicus and Trophimus. I bet you could quote all them too, couldn't you? These going before tarried for us at Troas. And verse 6, and we sailed away from Philippi. Somebody help me. What happened down at Philippi when Paul and them was down there? What happened to Philippi? Paul and Silas down in Philippi, the Philippian jail.
That's right.
They were locked up in the Philippian jail for doing nothing but preaching the Word of God.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
And they beat them, cast them into the innermost prison, and made their feet fast in the stocks.
About that.
Now, if that had been today,
I tell you what, I'm gonna call David Gibbs. I'm gonna sue this place. I'm gonna own this place. Praise God, they ain't gonna treat me that way. I ain't gonna let them do me this way. Paul and Silas, they woke up. Paul may have looked over at Silas and said, "Man, what a service we had down there."
Right.
Didn't they cast the devil out of somebody? A girl that was telling fortunes. I may have it mixed up with a different. I believe that was in Acts 16, where they cast the devil out of this little girl that was going around making money, telling people's fortunes. And when she got the devil out of her, guess what? She couldn't tell fortunes no more. Woo! Surely you don't get the newspaper to read your horoscope and see what kind of day you're going to have. You'd be amazed at the people who believe in that joke. Yeah. Oh, Friday the 13th, gonna be bad luck. A lot of people afraid to walk under a ladder. You know what the problem is, though? They're afraid somebody put them up there and put them to work. Amen. A black cat run across in front of you. You put X's on your windshield trying to hex him out. Lord, I'd hate to know that I believed in all that.
That's right.
Crazy mess and everything. But they cast the devil out of this little old girl that was telling people's fortunes. Guess what? She lost her power to tell fortunes. And man, you won't get the devil mad. You just get in his financial business. You just start taking away from, hey, people talking about the Catholic Church, you know, just as good as the Baptist Church. Well, I just got one thing to say about that. It ain't true. They don't know God. They think the Pope is infallible.
Right.
And the Catholicism is not being saved. And if you believe in Catholicism, you won't go to heaven when you leave this walk of life. Mm-hmm. You're judging, Brother Clayton. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. In verse 6, "And we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread and came unto them to Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days. And upon the first day of the week," somebody help me, when's the first day of the week? Most people think it's Monday, but it's not. First day of the week, when is it?
Sunday.
Sunday. So the Lord's Day is the first day of the week, right? Okay. "Upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight." How'd you like been that service? He preached till midnight. Why, today, if you go to a camp meeting, if you preach longer than 15 minutes, they say you're a long-winded preacher and you ain't going to get back up there no more. Well, I've always taught you better load your wagon real good while you're there, because you might not get another shot out. Amen, preacher. And Paul being long preaching. Why did the Bible say Paul was long preaching? He had a lot to say. And buddy, when he said, things started happening, hallelujah. And verse number 9 said, "There sat in a window a certain young man named," what was his name? Somebody help me. Eutychus. Eutychus was sitting in the window. And Eutychus fell into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, woo, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. Now, if you preach so long that they fall out the window and get killed, you better do like Paul, be able to go down there and resurrect them. Because that's what Paul did. Paul walked down there, and Paul went down, verse 10, and fell on him, and embracing him, said, "Trouble not yourselves, for his life is in you." Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
Raised him from the dead. And they brought, verse 12 said, "And they brought the young man alive and were not a little comforted." Now, what does that mean when it says they were not a little comforted? It means there's a whole bunch of
comforted. That's right.
See, the Bible is really not all that hard to understand if you'll just read it and heed what it says. Amen.
Right.
Hey, did you know I've heard my pastor, y'all probably heard him say, he said, a praying man will quit sinning and a sinning man will quit praying.
Woo-hoo.
Amen.
Right.
Hmm. Let's drop down to verse number 17. Now, Paul's raised this man from the dead. And from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. Now, this is precious if you'll just listen to it. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, this is Paul talking, you know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I've been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind. If I had a tape recorder, I'd put it on pause right there for a minute. Did you know, we think that we strut like a peacock, and I'm the macho man around here. We think that that's building up our reputation and make people think more of us. Well, the Bible says that Paul said, you know, from the first day that I came to Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind.
Oh boy.
Did you know there's a verse in the Bible that said, pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall, and better it is to be of an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud.
Right.
Hey, God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace to the humble. So, because of that, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Why? That he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him. You know why? For he careth for you.
Sir.
Submit yourselves, therefore, to God, and then resist the devil, and the Bible said he will flee from you. Then you know what you're supposed to do then? Draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you.
That's good.
Guess what the next verse says? But cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded.
That's that.
1 John 4:4 said, you're of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that's within you than he that is in the world.
Hallelujah.
Hmm. Hey, we know that we have passed from death unto life. You know how we know we've passed from death unto life?
Sir.
Because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. And whosoever hateth his brother, the Bible says he's a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Amen.
Right.
Paul goes on to say in verse number 19, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations. You know what amazes me? Back when I was a young preacher, just started preaching, I couldn't hardly preach for crying. Tears would come out of my eyes. I'd just weep. Now I can preach for 2 hours, but what's happened to my tears? They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Paul said he served the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. Look at verse 20. If you don't get nothing else, get this. Acts 20, verse number 20. Paul said, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, Here it is.
Oh boy.
Repentance toward God. Now, if I had that tape recorder, we'd put it on pause right there. Do you know, we're living in a day and age when people says that a sinner does not have to repent in order to get saved. Yeah. Now, there's just one thing wrong with that. It's not true. Hey, except a man repent, the Bible said ye shall all likewise perish, and you'll either repent or you'll repent when you're burning in the flames of hell forever and ever.
Right.
It'll be too late to repent then. He said, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Next verse. Now, behold, I go bound. Y'all can tell I've preached there before because I spit all that, isn't it? It's like putting glue in. And now I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. Do you know a lot of people won't go to a place to preach unless they know for sure that everything's going to go right, there's not going to be any trouble, there won't be any mishaps or anything happen, and oh, got to be a good love offering. Now, a lot of folks, they love you, but they love you out of their sight. Go ahead. He said, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, saying that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. Paul said, but none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Pretty good, huh? I tell you what, when we stand before God, we're going to wish we'd have done a lot more than what we did. Do you know they tell me that you can't even be in a Masonic lodge unless you pay dues? But then people fuss and cuss and rare about having to give tithes and offering. Hey, you show where your heart is at. You can judge a person's Christianity by what they do with that right there. Oh, that preacher thinks I ought to give 10% of my income to the Lord. Well, why don't you give a little more than 10% and see if God don't bless you? Is it you can't trust God or you don't believe God will do what he said he'll do? See, God said if you'll bring all the tithes into the storehouse. Now in the day and age, where's the storehouse in the day where we live? Well, now that we're living in this dispensation, where's the storehouse?
Church.
It's the church. It's where you go to worship. I heard one old fellow say, he said, you pay where you eat. You wouldn't go eat a meal at Hardee's and then go down to McDonald's and pay the bill, would you? Oh, no, they put you in jail for that. Oh, so you pay where you eat. Amen.
Right.
And if you are not getting anything out of it, it may be because you're not putting anything into it. And you start talking about money, and a lot of us get nervous. Did you know the Apostle Paul? Now, I'm fixing to bring to a close, but over in 1 Timothy chapter 6, listen to this. This will help you. This will be a blessing to you. 1 Timothy chapter 6, and I believe it's verse number, well, let's get up, back up and get verse number 6. I was going to get verse 7. Paul said, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Now, are you contented in the lot that God has permitted you to be in this life? But godliness with contentment is great gain. Why? Listen to verse 7. For we brought nothing into this world. Brother Olaf used to say, I've never saw a hearse going down the road with a U-Haul hook behind it. You brought nothing into this world, and it's certain that we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Why? Look at the next verse. For they that will be rich, but they that will be rich, verse 9, they fall into temptation and a snare and the many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. Mm-hmm. Now, if you don't want to hear it, stop your ears up and listen to verse 10. For the love of money. Do you know you can have money and not love it, but you can be as poor as Job's turkey, and he was so poor he had to lean against the fence just to gobble, and you can be as poor as Job's turkey and still be in love with money. Verse 10 said, for the love of money is the root of all evil. I preach at a lot of places where everybody in the church hears their philosophy. Brother Zach, they say, I'm going to get all I can. I'm going to can all I get. I'm going to sit on the can and guard it with a shotgun and dare anybody to try to get any of it. Give an offering to that preacher. Let him go get him a job. He worked just like I did. Well, I thought if he was in the ministry, that was the work that God had put him in.
Amen.
You're hitting below the belt, Brother Black. I'm sorry. He said, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after. Now, did you know usually, what's your name, brother, holding that little baby?
Oh, Michael.
Yeah, Michael. Michael, did you know usually in the Bible, when the Bible starts talking about money and wealth and the things of this world, that God will usually use the word covetousness and lust. The love of money is the root of all evil, which while some have coveted after, you know what it'll cause you to do when you start coveting after this world's goods? It'll cause you to turn away. They have erred from the faith, and they pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Do you know there's a lot of people that's got more than they can even deal with? Matter of fact, they're trying to find ways to keep people from knowing that they've got it. And yet, they act like they're going to take it with them when they go, but they're not.
Yeah.
And if God has blessed you with material goods, why don't you settle in your heart that by the grace of God, you're going to try to be a blessing to others with it, because you brought nothing into this world, and it's certain that you're going to carry nothing out. Listen, verse 11, I'm going to close. But that, after he says that the love of money is the root of all evil. Now, you know the root is where something originates, right? That's where it starts. That's where it's going. And the love of money is the root of all evil. Then he said in verse 11, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Can you buy any of those that Paul's mentioning there with money?
No.
They don't come with money. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. And let me say this, and I'm done. Do you know the average Baptist that's in church today claims to love God, claims to want to walk with the Lord, and their philosophy in life and their favorite song is, "Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way, and I can't wait to look in the mirror, 'cause I get better looking each day, and to know me is to love me. I must be a short of good man. Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble, but I'm doing the best that I can." Hey, God wants us to go further than that and not just say we're humble, but be humble. A praying man will quit sinning.
That's good.
And a sinning man will quit praying. Pastor, I'm done. You come on. Judas had the bag, and I got one. And I'll get rid of it before long.
God bless you, preacher.